Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Caw and I'm delighted to be joined by Record Sports' Michael Gannon and Graham Young. Guys, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you doing, chaps?
Very well, mate.
I feel like it's been an eternity since we last did a Celtic podcast. It's been a long summer.
We're almost back to business. We're looking forward to the real stuff kicking off again. It's been fun sitting in the sweltering heat of the heatwave. We're ready to go. Pre-season training's been done. We're ready to go again.
I feel like I should apologise to anyone listening if they can hear the drone of my fan in the background, because it is still sweltering where I am. But same for everyone.
Well, I'm glad you got a fan. I don't think we've got fans.
Budget didn't stretch that far. I think the best place to start, guys, is obviously transfer news with no game or no competitive games going on. Transfer news has been a hot topic on Record Sport in the last couple of weeks. And Celtic, obviously, the most recent arrivals, Moritz Jentz and Aaron. Is it Aaron Mooy? Is that how you pronounce it?
Moy.
Moy.
I don't think it's Moy.
sorry, Aaron. But they're the two most recent arrivals. Graham, what do you think of them? I mean, I think certainly Moy on a free transfer makes a lot of sense to me.
Aaron Mooy, always have. I liked him at St Mirren back in the day. I thought he was pretty a pretty useful player, and he's had a really good career. Huddersfield, he did really well there. Brighton had a good run before he went to China. I think the right up in players is when they go to China, they're finished. It's the kind of end of the road. But I think for players that play in Australia, move to the Far East of that world, it's a bit more accessible maybe than for other players from different parts of the world. He's come back, he's got ties to Glasgow. Maybe the one argument you'd make is for someone that was a free agent, could he have been in a couple of weeks ago? Maybe. But he's someone that Postecoglou knows really well, a key part of his Australia team when he was manager. And he is a pretty unique midfielder in the sense that he doesn't play one position. He can do a bit of everything. He is versatile. He's decent enough in the tackle. I always just imagine he's like playing these kind of long passes as well. It's not a Celtic do go long, especially when Kyogo starts, when he's making these runs in behind. So that'll be useful. Just a really kind of decent player. And I think this year's completely unique for players as well, in the sense that we've got a Winter World Cup, so many players, everything's gearing towards Qatar. He'll be a key man there. Not that he wouldn't give his all anyway, I think that's the type of guy he is, but I think he can really strike gold with players who have just this perfect time, come in, have a great jam-packed start to the season, then off to a World Cup. And I think Moy, I can understand, I know there's a few dissent voices, I think it may be slightly overblown, but I think when Celtic maybe splashed the cash and there's these guys like Vinicius, Souza and Edward Michu have been linked as well. Look, it's sexier names, there's no point in saying otherwise. But Moy, if James McCarthy was a backup midfielder, Moy's likely to start as well. But I think to me, he'd be more likely to make a telling impact than James McCarthy. I think on that basis, a free transfer is good business for Celtic.
Mick, what did you make of the two signings? Again, as I say, Moy, experience of Scotland, Australian, first Australian Ange signed, actually. Good business.
Yeah, listen, I know some punters are kind of shrugging their shoulders and all that stuff, but let's be honest, he's a solid squad man. He's not a guy that's going to improve the Celtic starting 11. And not every signing has to, let's be honest. I mean, to replace the guys, you look at the Celtic midfield when they're all fit and available, there's maybe five into three places. Is he going to dislodge them right off the bat? Probably not. But to buy somebody who is going to dislodge a McGregor, a Turnbull, Hatate, these kind of guys, to buy that, can I get a replacement? You're talking £10 million plus. You're not going to get a replacement. That's what they've got. That's a solid midfield. So he's a backup guy who'll play a lot of games because there's so many games to play this season. So he'll play probably 15, 20 games and do pretty well because he's an experienced player. Weird career he's had, hasn't he? I mean, he came through. I mean, St. Mirren picked him up and he goes back to Australia. Does well in his homeland. I think Man City signed him. Obviously, he's part of the City group at Melbourne. I think Man City and goes on loan to Huddersfield. I think he paid £8 million quid for him to get him from Man City at that point.
Aye, there's a few quid now.
Player of the year. Then he goes on loan to Brighton a couple of years later. They buy him for decent money as well. So he said something. I think he went to China for big money as well. I think he's about £4 or 5 million quid. So he's like a guy with a bit of pedigree, quite a kind of varied career, a lot of experience. Played at international level, 50 odd caps for Australia. He's a solid squad man. I don't think he'll be the first name in the team sheet, but I think he'll do a solid job anytime he's asked to play. As for the Jens, well, they've denied us the annual centre-half crisis that Celtic usually have. So there's no Champions League qualifiers this year for the first time in a long time. And there's no scramble for a centre-half. And usually this time of year, Celtic are holding a raffle before the game, and the prize is to play centre-half against a European opposition. They've got anyone. This has been near Beton gets to run out of centre-half.
And he usually wins it, eh?
A couple of youth team players, or say the guy who wins the windfall raffle gets a pair of boots to play in some far-flung European country. So they're all pretty much set. I mean, I think Carol Starfelt comes back from... Again, likewise, Starfelt and Carter Vickers are going to be the main centre pairing. The new arrival is going to be the kind of backup. Maybe at the start of the season he'll get a chance because Starfelt's injured. But you'd imagine it's his chance to try and push. And he's not had a lot of experience. He's a young guy. I think he's been watching him for a long time. I fancied him a year ago as well. So maybe one for the future as well, but may have to bide his time. I still think Starfelt and Carter Vickers are going to be two main men. But that's £10 million investment in those two centre-halves. So again, to buy another one, you're going to upgrade. You're going to spend another £5 or 6 million to buy another centre-half? No, you're going to try and bolster your squad by a guy with a bit of potential. It sounds though he fits in the way he started to play, a ball-playing centre-half. They don't really have that kind of player. Obviously, Christopher Julien is going to be heading the other direction, it looks like, as well. So, yeah, Celtic, there wasn't an awful lot wrong with Celtic's first 11. I mean, this is a team that went 30-odd games unbeaten last season while suffering a lot of injuries, a lot of guys missing. If they're all back fit and available, there's not a lot they need to really change. I mean, the turnover last year was so huge. They couldn't have that again. There's no need for it again. I mean, people go, oh, it's just signing guys are already there. It's just paying money to stay still. Yeah, but also, there's no gamble. I mean, you know what Carter Vickers can do. They know what Jota can do. Mm-hmm. So spent £13.5 million these two, but they could go out and spend, they didn't get those two, go and spend that again, and they don't know if these guys are going to work. These guys work. They've shown that it works. Their comfortable surroundings, they've got an extra year's experience at the club, so they're good bits of business. It does eat up this year's transfer budget, of course, but to replace them, but they cost more. That's the way they've got to view it. So Celtic are pretty strong. It's pretty chill. I think it's a pretty chilled out summer for Celtic in comparison to previous years, especially last year. The one thing they haven't had really is the people banging the door to get their players out of the club. That might come, I think, towards the end of the window. You might start seeing people looking at certain players already and trying to pick them up. So they might have to fend a few guys off, I think. And if that happens, they need to be quick on their feet to replace them. But at the moment, it's plain sailing for Celtic, isn't it?
See, just on what Mick's saying there, Graham, I definitely feel like there's a different feeling about Celtic this summer in the sense that a lot more urgency about the players that have been signed. And as Mick says, it's almost ironic that they don't have qualifiers this year because it's the first year in so long that they're probably fully ready. You know, the squad's just about there. I mean, do you think that's down to Mike Nicholson, the new CEO, or is it just a case Ange kind of knows what he wants? Or?
Yeah, probably a combination of both. I think Postecoglou, at least once or slightly more, is on the record of saying about you get what you want as well. So I think Michael Nicholson, by all accounts, I've seen Moritz Jens name-checking him as well. So obviously he was impressed with the way that deal was concluded. There was an interesting point that Mick made there about Jens being a long-term target. I think that's a measure of scouting as well, because he didn't have the easiest season at Lorient last year. it was obviously he was linked with Celtic before he arrived there. So for a player like Jens, for where Celtic want to go long term, so that he adds a bit of options in the defence as well. So I think for Celtic, the way they're doing it this year, I know everyone's making the point about Champions League qualifying, getting the players in when it really matters, and I think they're ready to go. It's already, since the season starts, once they're away, they'll be ready for Champions League, and it's a pretty exciting time.
And Mick, I mean, just going back to what you were saying about Christopher Julian, I kind of feel like he's been a little bit harshly treated by Postecoglou, if that's the right term. He obviously just doesn't fancy him, it looks like, but he's a guy that kind of, in his first season with the club, contributed so many special moments, the winner against Rangers, Lazio, and I just find it kind of interesting that he's not been given a look in.
Yeah, listen, it happens. Managers have their own thoughts, and listen, it's looking clear that he doesn't quite fancy him the way he plays. I think he's been decent enough, Christopher Julian. I think he's prone to lapses in concentration in games that were maybe slightly, I don't want to say easier for Celtic, but games are dominating. He could switch off a wee bit. He also could get a wee bit kind of shoved around sometimes. I mean, when Lyndon Dykes was the one, wasn't it? That kind of bullied him a wee bit and all that stuff. Faked him out a wee bit. But then I think he's also quite a good under-siege defender. Well, you mentioned Lazio games, the Betfred Cup final against Rangers. I thought he was outstanding. He scored the goal, but he was outstanding in terms of defensively that night. I think he's a good under-siege defender, but Celtic aren't under-siege that often. So I tend to agree with him. I thought he'd be a useful guy to have around, but clearly the manager's not doesn't see really a role for him as such at this point in time. And it happens. Maybe time to try something else. Mm-hmm. It's been unfortunate. Injury obviously wrecked his season, and it's never really recovered in terms of his position from that point. So it happens. In terms of Celtic's summer, I mean, the circumstances are different this year because they are in the group stage of the Champions League. I'm sorry, it's saying they're doing the business early and all that stuff, but usually Celtic are having to walk a tightrope thinking, do they spend X money to gamble to get to Champions League if they don't get it? Or then do they have to sell a player and all? There's a lot of moving parts most summers. This year there isn't the moving parts. It's a new look squad. There's not really the demand to be selling anyone because the money's coming in, guaranteed Champions League money coming in, so don't have to try and sell a player to balance the accounts as such. So they're in quite a comfortable position, so it's easier to do business earlier when they're just supplementing the squad bits and pieces rather than bringing in first team players, and they've got the knowledge that there's a big check coming their way from the Champions League. So it's a quite a comfortable position, whereas most years it's a lot of moving parts. Mm-hmm. Do they speculate to try and get Champions League, and then if they don't get there, they have to maybe try and sell someone, whereas they're fighting to keep hold of their best players. It's difficult, whereas this year seems to be a bit more relaxed, and it's benefited the manager certainly, and it's created a bit more stability going into the season than usual.
And Graham, we mentioned a couple of minutes ago that there hasn't really been much noise in terms of suitors for some of Celtic's big players. I mean, we have the story on the Record Sport website today that Matt O'Reilly has been sort of tenuously linked with Leicester. I don't know how much there is in that. But I would imagine, or I would have imagined, that there'd be more interest in players like him, Kyogo, Giakoumakis even. Do you think that'll still come later in the window?
Potentially. I think the Juranovic interest is a good example. Someone who's obviously ambitious, been moving through leagues himself, but he wants to stay at Celtic because he wants to play in the Champions League. It's a World Cup year. A lot of these guys fall in the same boat, and not every one of them is qualified for the World Cup. But the Riley one in defence comes reported down to, I think there'll be something in it, in the sense that he'll be on Leicester's radar. You can understand why. The one comment with Riley that stands out for me is when he signed for Celtic, by all accounts, he was high in Liverpool's radar as the best player out with certain leagues. So in League One, he was by far and away the best player that compared to other leagues across Europe. And you can see it now. He had a very good first 6 months, but he fits the profile of the next big Celtic sale. Age, big academy experience, ability, obviously. Everything about him just seems destined for a really big move in the future, but it's definitely not now. 100%. I think 6 months into Celtic career, he'll want to go play the Champions League, and him himself, he's in the same boat. He's making waves for the under-21s at Denmark. he's definitely an outside candidate to make the squad there. So I think you can see, I'm sure guys like Kyogo, I'm sure these scouts across teams across Britain and Europe would look at someone like Kyogo and go, what a talent, maybe look at him as an option. But Celtic aren't in the need to sell, and it's unlikely they would unless the money was completely would blow them away. And I think Juranovic is a prime example of that, with a maybe Atletico Madrid or looking at them or other teams. He's quite keen to stay with Celtic. He's got a nailed down place for Croatia, a team who won the last World Cup final. I think Celtic are in a strong position if they want to keep their players right now. That, the counter argument to that, and I think when Mick was talking there, that came into my head, is Celtic, you want to balance when you sell players. If you don't sell anyone this summer, then you're probably maybe a bit of a logjam down the road at selling maybe more than potentially players are performing. But I think that's maybe something to worry about for another day. The Celtic want to be strong for the Champions League. 5-year absence, so while there might be plenty of interest in the players that we've mentioned, O'Reilly, Juranovic, Kyogo, I think for this summer it will be a case of more fringe men exiting, Julian Ajeti, players like that, than the first team core.
I can't believe it's been a 5-year absence. Even just saying that, that sounds mm-hmm. mad for a club like Celtic. But what, 2018 it would have been?
2017-18 season.
Aye, that's mad. And just going back to O'Reilly, Mick, he looks to me like just a ready-made placement for Tom Rogic. You know, he looks a very kind of similar player. And I would have said that, you know, we mentioned how much it would cost to upgrade a lot of Celtic's players. I don't know how much it would cost to get an upgrade in Rogic, but Celtic seem to have done it.
Yeah, great bit of business. It's like Tom Rogic that can last more than an hour. It's like Tom Rogic with an engine. God bless poor Tom. It wasn't the one for the 90 minutes, was he? No, listen, I'm not surprised. I will be talking about Mark O'Reilly, because he was on every radar in England as well, because we've all heard the stuff with the scouting stats and all that stuff are off the chart, and he is a top quality player. I think he'll get a season. I think if he has another season like the way he played in the last 6 months of last season, I think they'll all be next summer. He could be the one that there'd be a lot of interest in. But I think Celtic are a settled team. Guys like Kyogo, Itati, these kind of guys, maybe other teams will look at them and think, well, let's see how you do this year. And last year, you were spectacular. Let's see how you cope year two. Again, might be that there's interest. But I think they might get away with that one this summer. Listen, Celtic will get plenty of assets down the line. I mean, Carter Vickers will make their money. Jota will make their money. Juranovic will make money. So I don't think there's any pressure, because the Champions League guaranteed this year to sell. I also think that the timing is good, because I don't think teams are going to maybe wait and see how they go on first before make a move for them. It's maybe early days in terms of how they're getting on this year. So I think Celtic should be quite relaxed about that. I don't think anyone's going to come and poaching their best players just quite yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe people will wait and see how they go on this year first. Mm-hmm. But next summer could be the one. There might be a different kind of approach. But that's a long way off. The season's just upon us, and there's a lot of challenges in front of them to deal with, first of all.
And if we include, obviously, Maeda, Carter Vickers and Jota, who were all there last season, Graham, it's 7 summer signings that Celtic have made, permanent signings. Where else in the squad do you think they should be looking at, if anywhere? I mean, defensive midfielder is somewhere that's been continuously mentioned. You mentioned Vinicius Souza, is that his name?
Yeah.
Where else do you see Ange wanting to strengthen before the window shuts?
Well, Mick just touched upon players out of these world kind of stats, and that's what Vinicius Souza was, because like O'Reilly, how he kind of showed up, I think Souza's defensive interceptions was just miles clear of any other player outside the top 5 leagues. And you watch him as well, just being honest, it looked like Fabinho had played for Liverpool. You watch clips, that's who he was, like just a big dominant player that played at the bottom of the heart of midfield. And you can see why Celtic wanted him. I think the Espanyol transfer maybe surprised some, because you think the City group links with Lommel and the fact that maybe Celtic were in for a shout, but you can see why he would appeal. But if you can't get that level of defensive midfielder, then I think Andrew said it quite clearly that there's other ways to kind of, he doesn't need that defensive midfielder. That would be an option, someone who, not a complete, just not a clogger, but someone who brings maybe an extra steal for the Champions League nights. I think that's what everything's kind of leading towards, and we know that they would like to bring in another striker. That's been mentioned a few times. Though Scott Burns has been made that clear as well, it's something they'd like to do. And Ryan Mai, that's one of the strikers at Ferencváros. He fits a profile, he does. You just watch his clips as well, that he's got, he looks at a player that will make the step up for Ferencváros. I think his club, someone said before about World Cup year, he's in the mix for Morocco, so he's had a serious injury, he might not be him, but Celtic got an option there. You've obviously, Kyogo and Giakoumakis is a big decision. Leads the line, dies in my head for all his qualities. To me, he's not a number nine. I think he struggles when he's in the middle, as much as he brings when he plays in the left. But then maybe a Celtic, a better team, and Jota's on the left, so there's decisions to be made there. And I think it'd be more an attacking position now that they've got Jensen in defence. Keeper, they're sorted. Andy Ralston's the ultimate backup right back, so they're fine there. We've got the two left backs across the way. You've got plenty of options across the team, so I think Celtic know what to do. I think if they can find the right quality, probably an attack, maybe one more, or that defensive midfielder. But I think Ange Postecoglou, the position he's in now compared to the one he was 12 months ago, is remarkable. And I think that was backed up by the really strong January transfer window. So I think Celtic are in a position they can bide their time, see who goes out the door. And if the right player of quality emerges, then that's where they'll go. But to me, it's defensive midfield and maybe another striker. Did you say what? You need a future plan a bit as well. Maybe a younger striker with a profile, someone who can develop, and then if one of the big hitters do leave in the coming 18 months, say, maybe step in and fill the gap. Because much as you maybe look at Joey Dawson or someone in the youth team who's got parts of his game improved, I don't think there's a ready-made academy star ready to come in and play 20, 30 games for Celtic. So that probably still is an area at one point.
And I know they don't grow in trees, obviously. This is going to maybe sound a little bit silly, but I definitely think Celtic do lack a kind of Wanyama type that Graham's touched on there, a ball-winning midfielder. I can see Mick almost smiling as I say it, but do you agree, Mick? Like, is there anywhere else in the squad that you see is a bit light?
Listen, I know everyone wants a kind of mid-tier anchor man, don't they? Like, a bit of, kind of, bit of steel. Because Celtic aren't the most physical of teams, they're not the biggest team, are they?
That's true.
I know that. I mean, Ange Postecoglou is actually the weekend. Actually, he wasn't that bored about a defensive midfield player. I think I take whatever Ange says in pre-season with a pinch of salt. He does play his cards close to his chest when it comes to transfer sometimes. So yeah, I think you look at the Champions League. You think a bit of insurance in there, a bit of steel would be handy in certain games as well. But then. I think Callum McGregor's going to play at the base of that kind of midfield, isn't he, all season. I think he could do with someone to help lighten the load, but then you bring in, I mean, maybe Moy could be that guy, Gene McCarthy, Eddie Gucci still to kind of to show what he can do. Hasn't really had a chance yet, really, with injuries. So I think he's pretty well, I think they're pretty well off, really. Again, are you going to sign somebody to replace Callum McGregor on the team? Of course I'm not. I mean, have you got a spare 20 million?
That's a fair point.
So. I get the sense of Celtic. It's right. He's got a team that he's built very quickly. Signed. I mean, the recruitment has been pretty much spot on. The hit rate for the recruitment has been exceptional. It looks like to me like right. Everyone stays fit. Everyone, no one gets sold, and let's roll the dice and see how they go on. Mm-hmm. Champions League will take care of itself. Listen, the draw. You look at the pots they can get. I mean, every single there's not an easy route really in that group. If they can get a group with a chance of getting third place and sneaking in third place, they'll be doing really well and avoiding a couple of doings, because it really is such a step up, and it's been so long since they've been there. It's going to be really interesting, but they're not going to be, I mean, people are saying, oh, saying a Champions League class midfield player, well, do you know how much they cost? Do you know what I mean? Do you know how much it costs to get a Champions League class midfield player? Or a striker, a Champions League striker? Mm-hmm. Every club in the country, every club in the continent is looking for a striker. They can play that level. So I'm not going to get that without serious money. And they spent serious money. I said this is the first summer they haven't had to sell anyone for as long as we can remember. I mean, last year's outlay was, what, about 21 million? They brought in nearly 30. Whereas this year they haven't sold anyone and still spent nearly, what, 17, 18 million. The manager's in a lucky position that hasn't had to do that, or it's not been called upon. It might be time now to pick up. They'll pick up one or two, I think. I think a few will go, either loans or whatever, or permanent moves, and they'll pick up one or two extra ones. But I think it's roll of dice time for the manager and team.
Yeah, I was actually going to just ask there, Mick, but I'm going to put you both in the spot. I'll maybe come to you first, Graham. Obviously, with Jens, and Mooney, it didn't really cost anything. And obviously the three players that were on loan last season were obviously already at Celtic, technically. So do you think, Graham, there's still a budget there, a significant budget for Celtic to go out and make one sort of bigger signing before the window shuts?
Potentially. I think it'd be tied to the player, Daniel. As we say, it's a significant outlay already this summer. If they don't sell a big hitter, maybe Julian's wages are jetty if he comes off the wage bill as well. That might change how things are viewed. But I think it is on the players, and I think the positions mentioned, if Moyes been brought into the midfield, unless it was, as we spoke about, Vinicius Souza, a standout player in that position, I think it would need to be that type of player. I think any other players we spoke about, maybe development players, it wouldn't be as significant outlay. But it depends how things change. And Dermot Desmond kind of ended his exile and spoke at length and pride of Postecoglou, the job that's been done, and plenty of credit went round for his capture. So when it gets closer to the Champions League, the end of the window, I think Glasgow, by nature, is a city of making statements, especially in the transfer window between two clubs, rivals. I don't think Celtic would be dictated by Rangers' business, far from it, but you can never rule out if a player of stature becomes available late in the window what Celtic would do. But I think it's mixed, alluded to so far, that the squad Celtic have right now is stronger than it's been in a long time. Plenty of, even the backup players have got quality. That's even the Brendan Rodgers' first summer, maybe, like, in the same boat as many a Celtic manager, where scraping around in terms of, like, a lot of these project players with the squad, maybe an imbalance to it, maybe eight or nine key players, and the rest was filled with players who maybe weren't quite there yet. I think the Celtic squad's really strong, and if the right player presents itself, I'm sure nothing's off the table. But for now, I would guess against a kind of marquee splash. We'll wait and see how it goes, but I think Celtic are pretty strong with the other now.
And Mick, I think it's worth mentioning that it was a year ago this week that Celtic were thumped 6-2 by West Ham. And I remember looking at that day, the squad, obviously it was, you know, Ange was just in the door, but when you compare that squad to today's squad, it's night and day. And it does, as Graham kind of touches on, it kind of only shows what a job has been done in 12 months.
Well, the turnover's been huge. I mean, the amount of players, I mean, you're talking now over 20 players that have come in. In three windows. It's been, I mean, some turnaround. And to do that and win the league was incredible, really. Mm-hmm. Against a very, very strong Rangers team. So it has been a remarkable turnaround. Also just shows you what you can't judge pre-season friendlies because they get horse sick and go win the league. It's about, I remember, was it years ago when the Celtic beat 5-1 off Arsenal in pre-season? And there's folks going scarce on the touchline and all that stuff and right on the double that year. So it does happen. But no, the turnaround's been absolutely huge. And it's a settled kind of team right now. So they just need to see if they can maintain. I mean, remember last year, a lot of guys injured. I mean, Kyogo missed a chunk of the season. Jota missed a chunk. Yanovich's injury problems. Jackie Marcus, first half of the season, wasn't really available. So they can I patch up and get on with it last year. But this year, if they can avoid the injuries, it'll be interesting to see how they get on with everyone fit. Who plays? What is the best starting formation up front? Who are the guys going to be the first picks up top? It'll be interesting. I think the defence pretty much takes care of itself. Left back Taylor and Bernabeu will be fighting it out. I think the rest of the team is pretty much midfield. You can mix it up occasionally, but I think we know roughly who will be in there. It's more up front. Who gets the nod? Is it going to be one guy is going to be the main man, or is it going to be they got the alternate between the two or three of them? If they bring in another striker as well, that's another one in the mix. It'd be interesting. The way that the Celtic play under Postecoglou, they'll need these guys anyway, because the front guys in particular need to run themselves into the ground. So they'll be getting used at some point.
Mick, see if you were picking the team for, say, its first Champions League game, it's Chelsea, marquee matchup, first group game, and it's at Celtic Park. Who would you start, Kyogo or Jackie Mack? If you're picking the team right now, how would you go? I know it's different for different games, but just picking that kind of marquee game and the first Rangers game, if both were fit, who would you start as up front?
I'd go Jackie Marcus. I think Kyogo is a better footballer and he's more explosive in terms of his pace and his movement. But I think Jackie Marcus is really effective, and I think the way Celtic play, I think he becomes a really important player, and he also helps others with the way he is, his physicality, and the fact that he can be a focal point. I don't think his hold-up play is good enough. It's not, I don't think it's world class by any stretch, much, but it does enough. He chases about, he does the same running as well as Kyogo. But I just think a ball in the box, he'll take a chance, one touch, he can score. I must admit, I think he's Jackie Marcus is a really effective centre forward. His record's unbelievable for goals, really. And I think the way he's had to play when he's there, I think is really effective as well. It's not to say I think Kyogo is, again, he's a terrific little player. And there's not much between them. But I think if you're playing against that kind of team, I think you go with Jackie Marcus just to give yourself a somebody to aim for if you need to go a bit longer. He's not a target man. I wouldn't say he's an out-and-out target man, but he can hold the ball up and use his bone strength. So, yeah, I think I would go with him.
I would love, personally, to see them both. You know, Kyogo, not even off the wing, as like a number 10, just behind them. But I don't think that's ever going to happen, the way Ange plays.
Kyogo's always on his shoulder as well, isn't he? He likes balls over the top.
Aye, exactly.
It's tricky. The Kyogo's movement, again, you can get a case of both of them. I think it's a really tricky one. Because they're both really effective, but I don't know. It's one for the manager to. That's why he gets paid big bucks, and I get paid buttons.
And Graham, just on that, would you agree with Mick? Would you go Jackie Marcus?
Yes, I think I asked the question A because that was the way I was leaning, but also I thought Mick might have maybe felt the same. Kyogo's brilliant. Even the goals against Motherwell in the last day of the season, like just a reminder of his quality and the goal up at Ross County for. A small striker, that was last night, that goal. But Jackie Marcus is just... Everything about Jackie Marcus when he was signed, in a summer when Celtic were making multiple signings, there was a very high probability not all of them would come off. And Jackie Marcus, to me, Eredivisie top scorer. A lot of these guys have gone by the wayside, but just everything about his game, when he's fit, he's really, really strong. I know everyone goes on about the one-touch finish, but it is true. Celtic, as much as Postecoglou's got his methods, and a lot of these managers, it's quite overcomplicated, but Postecoglou to me, his greatest strength is how simple it is. It's like the stuff you get taught, the good managers at any level, get multiple players forward, play high probability balls into the box, either chipping it into a big striker or low crosses into a small striker. And Jackie Marcus is just the perfect striker to take advantage of that. And the amount of good deliveries, good corners, good crosses, he scores. The goal last week against Ostrava, just unbelievable. And it's, I think this season, if he plays 45 games for Celtic, I think he could be looking at probably the highest goal tally since. But was it Griffiths got 40 goals? It wouldn't shock me because he is capable of scoring, like the Celtic fans will hear this, dare I say it, but Chris Boyd and Aka getting four against Ross County or three, just tallying up, getting the goals you have to, while also being effective in big games. And I think he's just a cracking striker and a total... For all the early headlines were about Jota and Kyogo and Carter Vickers, Joe Hart, just the way he finished the season. Something about him as well, he's got a bit of a maverick streak about him, just a big character. And I'd imagine that I still think Kyogo will probably start the season, but I just think if Jackie Marcus stays fit and Celtic so many injuries last year, you can't guarantee anything. I think he can become the focal point for the biggest games. And that'd be some statement when you look at the impact that Kyogo's made as well. And that's no slight on him, it's just... what Jackie Marcus is capable of. And I think he would be the player. You talk about players and attracting interest. Teams in Europe would look at him, they're all of his stats, one touch finishes. Why would you not be interested in a player like that who's obviously trending upwards? He's not an early 20s guy. He's had to bide his time in his career to really make an impact. Now he is. So I would go for Jackie Marcus as well.
Guys, I could sit and talk about Celtic and transfers all day, but I think I've probably taken up too much of your time as it is. I should say, for everyone listening, you can stay on top of all of the latest Celtic news and transfer updates on the Record Sport website. And of course, we are on at Record Sport on Twitter, Facebook, and DailyRecord_Sport on Instagram. Mick, Graham, it's been a pleasure as always.
Take care, chaps.
Hey, mate. Cheers. Thank you so much.
And we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.